This is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. New International Version. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Lamentations, to the best of our knowledge, was written by Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. And there's not as much certainty in that as we would like, but when you stop and think about it, Jeremiah was the last prophet in Israel, in Jerusalem, before the Babylonian, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army came through, and they destroyed the temple, knocked down all the walls, and wreaked havoc in general, took most of the population away to Babylon to be slaves, and the poorest of the land they left there to tend the grapes and work the fields and everything. Of course, their crop was going to go to Babylon. They would keep enough to live on to eat, I suppose. But when you think about that, and you think about all the confusion, you read in that last chapter of Jeremiah, I believe it's 53. So I managed to jump ahead of myself in my notes. Let's see. I know I put it in there somewhere. I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 53. It's the last chapter of Jeremiah where there is an account of the fall of Jerusalem. And when you take that into consideration, all the confusion, all the horrible killing that was going on, all of everything that was happening, you can understand why they're really not sure, because Nebuchadnezzar and his army, they wiped everything out. I mean, that's it. So it's hard to keep records under a situation like that. You know, we were talking about things being deleted at Sunday school. Well, that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army was trying to do. They were trying to delete Jerusalem and make slaves of all of the inhabitants. Now, God did bring them back. He did bring them back, for sure, under Ezra and Nehemiah. You can read the account there of what went on. But Jeremiah writes, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Jeremiah was probably sitting up there on a hill somewhere watching all of this happen. And it just made him sick to the heart. But yet, Jeremiah could write, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah writes, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And I believe we talked about waiting in the Sunday school class, too. I'm telling you, it's kind of spooky in a way, but I firmly believe that God was in control. So I'm just sitting there just like, huh? Somebody had a camera on my shoulder or something, I don't know. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. And that's a challenge, especially in the days in which we, like we live today. I'm not the Ancient of Days or anything like that, but I've lived through a little bit of things going on in this world, and I remember I remember the Kennedy assassination. As a matter of fact, I remember when President Eisenhower lit the Christmas tree one year. I said, well, of course it was black and white. Round TV screen, about like that big, black and white, and it had the top cut off and the bottom cut off, the round sides. Remember all that? No, they put in my parents put in an antenna, but they eventually they put in a antenna on up on the roof that had directional. You could turn to get. You remember those? The Lord is good to those. That's okay. That's okay. I'm glad we could laugh. But I see these things going on in this country today. And I'm not exactly Jeremiah crying up on the hill. But I've never, and I think some of you might agree, I've never seen such absolute of viciousness, meanness in the way things are happening today, not just in the news media, Congress, or wherever else it might be, Department of Health and Human Services, I think it is. Wherever things are going on, there's just so much meanness. It's always been, truthfully, there's always been a lot of discussion, some of it not so polite, in the federal government. But I don't remember anything like this. I could come up with the last three Supreme Court nominees that made it in. Now that was a lot of fighting, especially over Matt Kavanaugh. Now, Judge Thomas. Oh, I remember when it was all over that Clarence Thomas stood up there before Congress and he said, this is nothing more than an old-fashioned lynching. And he wasn't far from wrong. That man was a man of integrity and there was no point in doing that to him. Unless you just plain wanted to get him out of there. And that's become a real battle in this country's Supreme Court, but there's other things going on as well. And I'm looking at the, listening to all of this. I said, man, this is horrible. This is horrible. But great is God's faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. And God is faithful to this church. God is faithful to this worship service. God is faithful to each and every one of you because he loves you and his compassions, they fail not. Jeremiah writes, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that must have been difficult for Jeremiah to know all these things, to know that God had told him, said, I'll be back 70 years. I'll be back. Well, in the intervening time, I believe, David, you read from the book of Daniel, didn't you?
Yes.
There's another one. I'm telling you, to me, it was downright spooky. And there was a time where Daniel was told, so time's up. And they did indeed go home. They did indeed go home. It's important for us to remember that regardless of the circumstances, God is always in control. Our hope is found in God alone, even in times where people are as vicious and mean as they are. And, of course, it's not just confined to the government. I see we were talking about I don't know if you would call it road rage or I would call road dysfunction. I'm kind of changed the word I was going to use. But yes, I've had I had a neat little incident happen. Just got my truck fixed, just got it all back pretty again. And what happens? I'm on the road getting ready to turn in, and there's a man who has a trailer sitting over here with a car on the trailer, and he's got out right in the middle of the road on a Route 6 going through Ironside. That's narrow. It really is. So I went on by, and I was easing going by, but the guy behind me got fixated on the trailer and on the car that was on it, and all of a sudden he went into the back of my truck. And I was sick because I just got it fixed. Fortunately, it was a little cracked piece of plastic where some epoxy glue will probably help. It's not going to go away. Maybe a little dab, a little black paint down in the crack. But and nothing that won't I can't polish off the bumper. But man, he wasn't even bothering to pay attention to what was going on. And regardless of the circumstances, God is always in control. Our hope is found in God alone. Our hope is found in Christ alone. Amen. It sometimes rubs guys a little bit the wrong way to hear that the church is the bride of Christ. But we understand, when you understand, if you read Genesis, the creation account, and how man and woman were created to be for one another. And God said, Eve would basically be made for Adam, but in God in doing so, making Eve for Adam, at the same time he made Adam for Eve. And we need to understand that that's the kind of relationship that God wants with each one of us. It goes beyond the physical. It goes beyond anything we're used to. We're talking about eternity. That's for eternity. I remember a book I read years ago, 90 Minutes in Heaven, by I believe the man's name is John Piper. And what happened? He was going somewhere. He was an assistant pastor down in Texas, and he was driving somewhere, and he was going across a bridge that was kind of under construction, and there was a guy driving a tractor trailer coming from the other direction, and he really hadn't been trained properly. Somebody just as they did, I hope they've cracked down on it a lot, but basically, drive a truck, here's the license. No previous experience. They've tightened down on that quite a bit because those guys didn't know what the heck they were doing. But that was the case with the tractor trailer that was coming the other way as Brother Piper was crossing the bridge. And that truck, he was in not a Pinto, but not a Maverick, but another one of those Ford cars. And the truck crossed over, and the truck ran up on his car to the point where the front wheel was resting over top, was up on the hood. So his legs got mangled, one in particular. But one thing he said was that for 90 minutes, as he was on that bridge, the rescue people, the ambulance crew that responded, they checked him and he said, he's dead. No pulse whatsoever. He's dead. And so in the meantime, John Piper had gone to heaven, and he was telling all about it. And he said this. He said, there was really no sense of the passage of time. There is just is. You are. It's just You're right there. There's no such sense of time. I mean, I don't know about walking around and all of that. From reading and studying Revelation, as we've been doing for quite some time now, I think it's beyond anything we can conceive in this world today. But he said there's just no sense of passage of time. So I think it was, I don't think Jesus was involved, but I think there were some other people there. And they started singing hymns. And as they were singing hymns, down on that bridge, John Piper was there, and they were a friend of his had stopped and went over there and prayed over what he took was the body. And then all of a sudden, John Piper started singing the same hymn that they were singing up in heaven. Of course, he was singing up there, and he was singing down here. And he was mangled. So the minister, the buddy of Mr. Piper, called EMTs over and says, he's still alive. He had been dead for 90 minutes. He can't possibly be alive. Well, guess what? He was singing a hymn. And I'll tell you, the rest of the book was something else. But we just have no idea of what eternity is going to be like. We have no idea of what heaven's going to be like. It's an experience. It will be as it was in the Garden of Eden, where there was no death. Death didn't exist. You know, and in heaven, it's, of course, Revelation gives a lot more details, but I just can't imagine. But until then, I'm going to do like Jeremiah says here, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. I don't want to hurry the process up. Now, since we are the bride of Christ, we must put God first and bear witness in all that we say and do. We must speak the truth in love. We can't get caught up in all this hatred. We just can't. We're going to lose our witness. Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, through this famous fruit of the Spirit passage, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Paul goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Now, Paul was given a level of faith for his particular ministry, and he needed it. If you read Paul's letters, read the book of Acts, you realize that Paul needed all the help God could give him, and then some. And it's amazing what happens when you're pushed beyond your red line. You're pushed, you know, beyond what you think you can do, what you think you're capable of. And God puts you there, and you have no choice but to cry out to God, Father, I need your help. And we look at our troubles, and we look at things that happen and things that are going on, and we wonder, why in the world is this? Because our Heavenly Father is pushing us to a deeper and stronger faith and a closer walk with Jesus each and every day. And when we realize that we cannot do it on our own, as Paul says, when we are weak, then we are strong, because God is free to work through us. When we call out to, that's 2 Corinthians 12:9, it's become one of my favorite Bible verses, because it really takes the load off. Really takes the load off. When I cry out, when I acknowledge my weakness, Paul says, then God is free to work through me, because I get myself out of God's way. And Jeremiah was really called on to do a powerful ministry here in writing Lamentations. Indeed, in doing what he did, you read to the end of Jeremiah, and you'll see that some of the Jews, when they were leaving Israel, they got out of there. They were heading to Egypt. And God had told them, stay put. Everything will go well with you. They didn't want to hear that. They figured they would be setting ducks, so they're going to run to Egypt. Well, when Jeremiah got to Egypt, this funny thing that happened. God said, go over here and bury these four stones, put these four stones in the ground. And I don't know if he laid them out square or how he laid them out, but he said, put these four stones in the ground. And then Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar will come here and he will set up his throne right on these stones as he goes and conquers Egypt, which is exactly what happened. And you really don't hear much more from Jeremiah after that. Presumably, he died in Egypt away from his beloved Israel, away from his beloved Jerusalem. And since we never know what's going to happen, as Paul writes in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Ooh, that's a hard thing to do. Well, we better acknowledge our weakness and draw close to Jesus, because we're given quite a ministry there. Now, in the Gospel of John, right before Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the apostles, John 13:34 and 35 is when I wear this verse out, but I'm glad you can never wear it out. You never wear out a verse in the Bible. Now, if you want to say amen, 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 amen over and over again, you might get a little tiresome, but still. Jesus told the apostles, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, because we are all a part of the family of God. And our family is different from earthly families. Our family is not based on physical similarities or DNA or any sort of genetic connection or anything like that, other than the fact we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. But it's based on the fact that we have Jesus as our Savior, with the Holy Spirit in our heart, and with God as our Father, and we are all family. All of us are family. And we're part of God's larger family around the world. You know, we think things are getting rough in America, and they are. But if you keep track of the news, you will know that once again, those peace-loving people over in Africa butchered over 50 Christians simply because they called Jesus Christ Savior. I don't understand that. I do understand it because the devil's behind it. That gives it some. Our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa have suffered horribly. And we need to lift them up. But the Voice of the Martyrs, if you ever get the Voice of the Martyr mailings, the Voice of the Martyrs tells it like it is. Need to lift our brothers and sisters in Christ up around the world, wherever they are. I kind of do the generic, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters in Christ wherever they are. Something along those lines when I'm praying. But there's just so many. You can go to China. You can go to Iran, where the Christians have really, really, really bravely stood for. They keep what's been written in Revelation about being patient. What real patience is when you watch your friends, family die right in front of you. It's hard. It's hard. But we need to remember that we're called on to bear a witness And these are verses I'm sure you're familiar with, but I couldn't think of anything else to put here that said what God wanted me to say any better than this. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I know you heard that over and over and over and over again, but take that to heart. The salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt gives flavor to the food that surrounds it. You know, if I have some, I don't know what it would be. I cut back on the salt as much as I can. But once in a while, I got a good popcorn. My wife will tell you, I get Orville Redenbacher's and light olive oil. I put that in the pan. And I'll pop up a pan of popcorn, and then I'll sprinkle some salt on it, because popcorn without salt is a real strenuous exercise. Very much so. Right, Cindy? I have to cut it a little bit. Put a little something up there. But if that salt got wet or something like that, it loses its saltiness. And that's what Jesus says. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It can't. The obvious answer, it can't be made salty again. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Because salt in Jesus' day had a lot of impurities. We get the young lady with the umbrella on the, I can't think of the name of it. What is it? Morton's. Oh, yeah, simple name. And I'll shake a little bit out, but not too much. Not too much. Too much salt's bad. But it gives flavor. And boy, can I consume that popcorn. It's good. With that olive oil and with that little bit of salt on there. Ooh, yeah. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's the way that we are to live our lives. You know, not running around with lights or anything, or drawing attention to ourselves, but we need to remember that the way we live our lives shines the light of God's salvation to the world around us. It is an absolutely serious ministry. You know, I have a couple of hats I wear that one of them says, you know, prayer can change things, and that's correct. It can, because we pray to a God who can get things done. We pray to a God that is awesome beyond our understanding. We pray to a God who can do just about anything except sin. He will not sin. He will not have nothing to do with it. And that's the way we're to live. We don't have nothing to do with the meanness and the ugliness that's in this world. And Jesus said, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's the way we're to live our lives. We are not to get involved in, my goodness, the language on the TV. And then we were watching a kids program the other day with one of Cindy's grandsons. And it was a kids program. Clearly, when you clicked on the thing, it said kids only. Kids only. They fibbed in a big way. Eventually, Cindy said, change the channel. I was just shocked. That's why it has kids there. Well, what's up with that? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. Why? So they can think more of you? No, so they can glorify our Father in heaven. Lifestyle evangelism. Be the living Bible that others can read. Driving down the road, pay attention. Anybody can cut in front of you. Anybody can be negligent like that guy. he was busy looking that trailer and car over, and he ran into the back of my truck. Anything could happen at any time. And everybody, we could spend the rest of the afternoon sharing all the close calls and ridiculous maneuvers that people made to cut over, pass us on the right, zoom in front of us on the left, go over to the other lane, and then cut back over. And it's if you're not watching, so really we don't have time to be distracted. I have a real problem because I've lived in this county all my life. I've lived in Southern Maryland all my life, and I look at all the change that's going on. And I look and say, well, that used to be like this, and it's distracting to me. Even in Nanjimoy and Ironsides, it's some of the changes that are happening. It's really distracting. I need to keep my focus on driving. And in the same way, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. As God gives us the opportunity, we must speak the truth in love. As we are called to be brothers and sisters within the church, and we are brothers and sisters, as Jesus would tell you, nobody raises his head above anybody else, because we're all in Christ. We are all on the same plane. And as we go through life, we need to remember that. We love one another in here, and when we leave this building, when we leave this meeting, and this worship service is critical, as is Sunday school, as is a lot of other meetings, but worship service and Bible study, oh my goodness, Bible study is critical. Critical. Paul would be the first one to tell you that. But as God gives us the opportunity, and opportunities come, we must speak the truth in love. It's good for us to pray that God will bless us with opportunities. And would God trust us with an opportunity to be a witness to somebody? We ought to, real quick in our heart, say a little prayer. Lord, give me the words to say. He will. He will. I wouldn't put him to a foolish test, but he will. He'll help you. And I just hope that this church, regardless of what lies in the future, I just hope that you will love one another as family like Jesus wants us to do. Because when we love one another as family, then we are that city on the hill. We are that light that shines. We are the salt that makes a difference where we are. And we are to be salt at home. We are to be salt in our neighborhood. We are to be salt in the Food Lion or Safeway or John, whatever you prefer. But as God gives us the opportunity, we must speak the truth in love. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, truly this is beyond our abilities. Lord, we must confess our weakness and that we are not able in and of ourselves to be the witness that you need us to be. So most Holy Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless us and be with us, that your strength would be made perfect through our weaknesses, that we might depend on you for all that we say and do. And Lord, help us to remember that regardless of where we are, that we are never alone, because you are always with us. Thank you, Holy Father, for the blessed assurance that you are forever, unchanging, without end. As far as the universe goes, Holy Father, we know that you go even further. So, Lord, we put all of our faith and trust in you, because most of all, you showed us how much you love by sending Jesus to the cross. Thank you, Holy Father, for the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours forevermore. And, Lord, help us to live what we believe. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Those who would like to pray, those who would like to